The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up.
Like a star.
From the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Light, a star of hope in the daylight sky, hope is found with the light. We'll be home surrounded by the glare of the Christmas lights.
No Christmas lights for me this year.
They'll shine as sure as the nose on my boot.
That's easy for you to say. You're not blind.
I'll bet you we got our Christmas lights tradition because of that big bright star that was shining. You know, the night when Jesus was born.
Here we go again.
I mean, Jesus did say, I am the light of the world.
Like I said before, what good does his light do to me? It certainly won't do any good for me now.
Did you know?
Yes, David, I heard all of this before I left Iraq. Just leave me alone.
The Bible says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
So they didn't understand it. So what? They didn't get what God was doing. Well, neither do I.
You know what the problem is, buddy? The world can't see God's light. Because they just can't see how much darkness they're really in.
I'm in darkness, David. I'm blind. How much darker can it get?
You see the light, don't you, Patrick?
I don't know, David. I can't see anything right now.
Hey, man. We'll talk about it when we get back from patrol.
But you didn't get back, David. God, why didn't you bring him back? He, more than anyone else, trusted in you.
Come on, Patrick. You're slower than a turtle in a mud hole.
You're a gingerbread man. It's like a space alien. Miss Richards, did you hear that?
No, Rachel. I'm sure Lucas's gingerbread man will taste just fine.
Then.
Even if it does look a little like a space alien.
Miss Richards, didn't you hear my dad's message last week?
I'm the church secretary, Lucas. I copied his outline for the PowerPoint.
Oh, yeah. I guess he did.
Are you going to help us decorate the tree, Patrick?
No, I don't think so, Princess.
Why not?
For the same reason I didn't help you decorate the gingerbread cookies.
Oh, I've got it.
What?
Come here, I'll show you.
Okay, just not too fast.
Rachel, don't bother your big brother.
It's okay, Mom.
I like that plaid shirt, Patrick. It looks nice on you.
Thanks, Mom. I borrowed it from David in Iraq. I didn't have a chance to give it back before the,
Before what? Lucas! What?
So, what's your big idea, little sis?
You stand here. I'll hand you an ornament and help you put it on the tree. Now put it right there. See? It worked!
Yeah, I guess that did work.
Thanks for letting me help you guys decorate for Christmas this year, Miss Richards.
Well, I'm just glad that you and your parents moved next door. Now I can share my favorite time of year with my favorite people.
I love everything about Christmas.
Almost here, I just can't wait. I Did you get a chance to decorate for Christmas before you left Iraq?
As a matter of fact, we did, Lucas.
Where did you get the decorations?
Well, sometimes we'd receive packages from churches or other people with all sorts of stuff in them, like hand wipes, trail mix, toiletry supplies, batteries, that kind of stuff. We could never seem to get enough batteries, though. Anyway, just before Thanksgiving, there was this lady who mailed us a box that had a bunch of Christmas lights in it.
Well, that was very thoughtful of her.
Yeah, but there was one problem.
What?
You didn't have electricity?
No, silly. All the lights were white.
All white? No colored lights?
Not a colored light among the bunch. We all started complaining about it, but not my buddy David. In pure David Kelly fashion, he started making the best of it.
What did he do?
I'll get it. Oh, come in, Candace.
Hey, Rachel. Hi, everyone. I hope I'm not interrupting.
Hey, Candy.
Of course not, Candace. We were just doing some decorating.
Patrick was just telling us how they decorated for Christmas in Iraq.
Using only white lights.
Oh, this sounds interesting. We're listening.
Okay. David Kelly, my buddy, got on top of one of the tallest structures and strung the lights up and down a pole in a triangle shape. It looked just like a Christmas tree. An all-white Christmas tree, of course. But that night when he turned it on, he decided something was missing. We all went to bed, but he commandeered a sheet of plywood and some thick aluminum foil from the new kitchen they had brought in for us. He sat up most of the night sawing, drilling, wrapping, and weaving lights.
What was he doing?
Well, we woke up before dawn to start our patrol, and there it was, the Star of David, right on top of that light tree.
Was it shaped like the Israeli Star of David? You know, the one with 6 points?
Oh, no. We just named it that after David Kelly. No, we didn't say Star of David too loud, you know, the whole Muslim-Israeli conflict thing going on. We thought it best not to stir up anything. That's why David kept on insisting we call it the Star of Hope.
The Star of Hope. I like that. What did it look like?
I guess it looked more like the Star of Bethlehem you see on Christmas cards with that spray of light spreading out and lighting the path down below.
Lighting the path to Jesus.
Jesus has come, the Savior has come.
He was so proud of that tree and that star. We ribbed him about it quite a bit, probably too much. But he just took it all in stride. He didn't even
do what, Patrick?
You asked too many questions, Lucas, really.
What?
Come on, children, we need to check on the gingerbread cookies.
But the cookies are already baked and decorated.
Your alien needs a hat.
Ha ha ha, Rachel. Very funny.
Have you seen any glimpses of light at all this week?
No, I'm pretty well still in the dark.
I never did hear how it happened. You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
You still interested in that Michael guy you met in college?
I'm done with college, and with him. But now you're just changing the subject.
It all took place at our FOB in eastern Baghdad.
FOB?
Sorry, it's our forward operating base, Camp Hope. There are tons of camps all over Iraq and Afghanistan, and they all have their own name.
Oh, so that's why David told you to call it the Star of Hope?
Yeah, Hope is where we lived and ran all our missions into the Shiite stronghold. I'm sure you've heard the news reports mention Seder City.
A few times, I think. I don't watch the news much.
It's probably a good thing. Well, at one point, we tried to turn Hope over to national control, but the Iraqi forces we put in charge there weren't quite ready to hold it down, so we had to come back during the surge and get it under control. That last mission, 3 days after Thanksgiving, I'll never forget it. We weren't more than a couple hundred yards from the camp when we were forced into an intense standoff with a Shiite militia. It started with the lead vehicle flipping when a roadside bomb was detonated remotely.
Oh my.
The rest of the convoy careened into barriers. We faced a spray of gunfire and explosions. I saw David go down.
That's awful, Patrick. What did you do?
Well, I went after him, but an RPG went off quite a ways to my right, knocked me over, and some small grenade shrapnel found its way into my head. Everything went in slow motion after that. I was staggering around. I knew I had to find my way back to Hope, but it was dark. The lights I could see were just dim little blobs floating around, and then I saw it. The Star of David.
Star of Hope.
Yes. That silly, handmade decoration we all joked about was the brightest light in the night sky. I stumbled and crawled toward that star, begging God to get me there and praying that David would somehow make it too. I was fading in and out of consciousness, but the light of that star led me all the way back to Hope. David didn't make it. He was captured. That star was the last light I've seen since I passed out and woke up with these bandages.
Have you heard anything about your friend?
They taped him being executed. That was the one time I was glad for my blindness. I don't ever want to see it.
Well, they're broadcasting on the news tomorrow night.
I'm not interested.
You have to face it sometimes, son.
Face it? Like I'm a coward or something?
Patrick, I'm sure that's not what he meant.
I faced death every day I was over there. My buddies and I laid our lives on the line 24/7. I don't think I have a problem facing anything.
You also need to decide on the direction you're going to take for employment when you finally...
I can't see, Dad.
Patrick's prognosis is a bit unsure right now, Mr. Richards. It's hard to say when he'll be able to consider.
Of course, Candace. I understand that. But Patrick knows he needs to be considering all his options, so when the time comes, he'll be able...
I'm ready, Dad. I'll be ready. I've got it all under control.
Sure you do, son. Let me know if I can be of any assistance.
I'm sure he's looking out for your best interest, Patrick. He means well.
He doesn't understand what it's like over there. Most people have no clue what we've been through.
Don't hold that against us. It doesn't mean that we don't care.
Yeah, I guess not.
I want to thank you for serving our country.
Thanks. I do hear that quite a bit, come to think of it, everywhere I go.
Everyone should thank you. You're fighting for our freedom, your family's freedom, your friends, your country.
You know, I'm sworn to protect and defend in the service of my country. And I would gladly give my life for freedom. But when it comes down to it, every morning when I wake up, I'm there for my brothers.
What do you mean?
The soldiers I work with every day. They're my brothers, my sisters. We have each other's backs.
I can see that. It's natural that you'd feel that way about them.
No, Candy. No, you don't understand. We have a bond unlike any other relationship I've ever experienced. I mean, we watch over each other through life and death situations every day. We are family. In every sense of that word.
It sounds very special.
I'll gladly fight to keep my country free and even bring the light of freedom to any group of people. But when you're out over there, it's about those who are by your side day in and day out. Those you know would die for you in the face of the enemy. Friends lay down their lives for each other, Candy. A real friend will die for you to save your life.
Them their country to defend, and some have died to save the lives of those around them, or suffered terribly to rescue some dear friend.
No greater love, no greater
much greater than my mind can fathom. The essence of the Savior reaching down to man. The love that God sent His Son to buy my pardon. So real to me and yet so hard to understand.
Mom, have you seen my blue plaid shirt?
I saw it on the floor next to the trash can in the hallway.
Well, what's it doing there?
I'll get it for you, honey.
That's all right, Mom. I'll find it.
Patrick, wait. I don't understand how you can tell between that shirt and all of your other shirts.
I cut a big notch in the tag.
Son, you should have at least listened to the news tonight.
The news is just twisted drivel. They share what they want and distort the rest. You are not getting a true picture.
That execution video was very...
I don't want to talk about it. And why would they air it anyway?
It really isn't graphic enough to justify not broadcasting it.
A man was executed. My best friend died right there. Couldn't they show him a little respect and not exploit it? The week of Christmas, no less.
Sam, can't you see that upsets him? Let's not talk about
it. I just watched it, Cheryl. The video never really showed the actual execution. It looks like the camera got knocked just as the gun went off.
But they told me you can see him falling sideways on the outer edge of the screen.
That's true, but they haven't found his body yet.
It could show up anywhere at any time without notice. That usually is how those cowards work.
You don't know he died.
Why do you have to be that way, Dad? You argue about everything. I can't say anything without you calling me into question. Okay, I'm stupid. Is that what you wanted to hear me say?
Patrick, no, don't say that. You're not.
No, obviously, Mom. I'm stupid. I don't know anything. The enemy captures my buddy. The terrorists murder him in front of a camera for the whole world to see. The army confirms the video's authenticity, and we haven't heard from him for 3 weeks. But Dad says he isn't dead.
No, I didn't say that. I said that the video doesn't prove.
Fine. Just fine, Dad. I don't know what I was thinking. I joined the military to prove to you that I'm a man. Maybe even learn a little bit of respect. What was I thinking?
I told you not to join on my account.
And instead of respect, the only thing I got out of it is this.
Now the doctor said you would probably be covering your sight with...
I'm blind, Dad. Blind. Can't you see that? Or are you blind too? That's it. We're both blind. Our whole lives, we've just been wandering around in the dark, banging into each other.
Look, son, I...
I gotta get out of here.
Patrick, are you okay?
Son, I am proud of you.
Did you have to sort things out before he leaves for the hospital? He has bent over backwards to make you proud of him. And you can't even say, I'm proud of you, with him in the room? I don't understand you, Samuel Richards. You're a hard man. When I became a Christian after Patrick was born, I prayed for you every day. And I am still praying for you every day. But I think that...
What do you pray, Cheryl?
What?
What do you pray to God about me?
Well, I pray for your safety on the job. And wisdom in handling our finances. And he has answered both of those prayers.
What else?
I pray for your salvation, Sam. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God is seeking you. He is calling out to you. I pray that you would humble yourself before God and step out of the darkness that you're in. I'm concerned for you, dear, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Don't let the enemy keep you in the dark. I pray that you would hear his call and come into his marvelous light. You know that you need to repent of your sin. I've talked about it many times.
Yes, you have, dear.
Jesus died for your sins, Sam. God's only Son shed his blood on the cross so that you could be forgiven. He rose again from the dead so that you might have life. Do you remember Romans 10:9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This would be a wonderful time to come to Jesus before...
Mom, we're ready to go, but I never could find my blue plaid shirt.
We have to go in order to make it to Patrick's treatment. We'll see you in a few days. Come to his light before it's too late, Sam. God is calling out to you.
Child,
He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here she wrote, Dear Father, draw Sam to the light of Jesus very soon. Amen. Pastor Parks? Yes, this is Sam Richards. Hello. No, I didn't go with him. It's his final treatment and they wanted to visit some friends out of state. They'll be back on Christmas Eve. Hey, I was just wondering if you would be able to come over this evening. You would? Great. Thank you. I'll see you in a bit. Lord, I don't understand why you would, but I do hear you crying out for me. Call me out of my darkness that I have walked in for so long, the darkness of my pride and my cold heart. Residents. No, he's out of state with his mom for a couple of days. Who is this? No, it's not. It can't be. You're dead. Well, that's what they tell us. It's all over the news. Well, I'll certainly be looking forward to hearing that story. I wouldn't expect it to be anything else but amazing. You're in Germany now? Oh, no. It's 2 a.m. here. Oh, that's okay. I had to get up anyway and, have some milk and cookies. Here? For Christmas Eve? Oh, of course. We'll be glad to have you. Do you need me to pick you up at the airport? Okay, I'll see you then. Listen, it's really good to hear from you, David. Patrick speaks very highly of you. What's that? Yes. He told us about the lights. Yes. I can do that. No, I'm off work. That won't be a problem. Glad to help. See you tomorrow.
Such a dramatic effect.
It isn't like I was completely healed. I just saw a little glimpse of light.
A glimpse at the light is all God needs to start healing you, Patrick.
You never talk about God. What's this about?
I know, son, but there's something that's going to be changing around here.
What?
While we were gone, your father spent a lot of time searching the scriptures, Patrick. He then called Pastor Parks to come over and talk with him. Your father accepted Jesus as his savior.
Oh, Daddy, you're saved.
That's great, Dad. So that means you're going to church now?
We will be attending church together, yes.
Ah!
Patrick, you okay?
Did I hurt you?
No, it's just really bright.
That's wonderful, son. That's a good sign.
Take a minute to get used to it.
Okay. I'm ready.
Open your eyes when you're ready, Patrick.
It's blurry. You guys aren't really clear.
But But you can see us?
Yeah, I can see you.
You can see, Patrick? Praise the Lord.
You're fuzzy, but it's just too dark in here. I need more light.
Turn around, Patrick.
What? David's tree? His star? The Star of David? But how? Dad, did you do this?
Yes. I love you, son. And if I've never said it before, I am so proud of you for serving our country.
I only wish David Kelly were here.
Well, I did have some help. Turn around one more time.
It's the Star of Hope, Patrick. How many times I gotta tell you?
David, no! You die!
I'm alive, Patrick. They didn't kill me. They just staged my shooting, kicked the camera, then kicked me to the floor.
I don't get it. Why didn't they kill you?
They kept saying they would kill me later, but later never came. A special ops force had intelligence on a weapons stash. And when they crashed their way into the building, they found me instead.
I'm so glad you're alive, David.
Me too, buddy. Your dad picked me up from the airport. Would you believe it? The airline lost my luggage.
Is that my blue plaid shirt you're wearing?
Don't you mean my blue plaid shirt?
Yeah, and it's so good to see you in it again. Merry Christmas.
Hey, pour some tea on this, soldier. No more tears, right?
Sorry, man. It's just... it's been so dark these last couple of months.
Well, it does kind of go along being blind, doesn't it?
It's not what I meant, Kelly, and you know it. Everything was dark. Like, I had no hope. And I couldn't see any light ahead of me, and I didn't even care.
That sounds tough, man.
I kept thinking, where is God? Why has he left me so alone?
No, Patrick, you're all wrong. God never left you. He may have put you in the dark for a time, but he was right there helping you along the whole time. In Isaiah 42:16, God promises, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. I've been praying for you, buddy. God's leading you to his light this whole time. You just have come to it, like you did that night in Iraq.
But how did you know what...
Your dad filled me on the story. Pretty awesome, buddy.
God is awesome. Come to him, Patrick. Everything David has told you about Jesus and forgiveness is the absolute truth. Pastor Parks told me that Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's calling out to you too, Patrick, and he's offering you that kind of life.
Will you come to Jesus now, Patrick?
Yeah, Princess. I've needed this for so long. Dear God, thank you for sending your only son, Jesus, on that first Christmas night. And thank you for the Star of Hope that gave great light to men from far away. You led me to that part of the world, O Lord, and I fought the enemy there in the Middle East. It was there I lost my physical sight, but I've been spiritually blind for so much longer than that. Now, you've restored my sight and brought me to the light of Jesus. I come to him. I repent of my sin, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Now help me, Father, to walk in his glorious light.
Savior has come, the Savior.
Presents. We love them, don't we? Who loves getting presents? Okay, those that aren't raising your hand. And some of you aren't. Any presents you get, bring them to me. I will love them. Okay? Absolutely. And if it's like a girl present, I'll put it on Craigslist, make some money, and buy something I like with it. Okay? Well, we all like to get presents. Who do we buy presents for? Usually people we love, right? I just dug a hole here. Okay. I normally don't buy presents for people I hate. You see the hole I've just dug for myself there? You're not supposed to hate people, Pastor. Okay. But if there was someone I didn't like, I'm probably not going to buy a present for them. I'm going to buy it for the people that I do like. You understand the difference there, right? The choir sang a song earlier. It was entitled, No Greater Love Than This. And the Bible says that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's what Jesus did for us. My friends, that's what Christmas is all about. It's the fact that Jesus, he came so he could lay down his life for us. He didn't risk dying when he came to this earth. He chose it when he came to this earth. That was the plan from the beginning. Wow, what love that Jesus showed us so he could offer this gift to us. Have you ever had anyone that you offered a gift to reject it? I've never experienced that. You generally take it, okay? And hopefully they like it. I mean, I've bought the wrong thing for someone before and they graciously accepted it and told me later that it wasn't really the right thing. But generally, when people are offered a gift, they take it. And yet, there's one gift that I can think of that people reject all the time, and that's the gift that God offers them. Someone offers me a gift of that immense value, I am not going to say, I don't need it. I'll think about taking it maybe later. All the things that people say when they reject the gift that God is offering them. We don't do that with earthly gifts, but yet we do with God. My friend, you need that gift. Regardless of what you think about whether you need that gift or not, you need it because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is absolutely no way to get to heaven without that gift in your hand. And there's no way to get that gift except through Jesus and what he did on the cross. That's what Christmas is all about. This morning in Sunday school, I was challenging our young adults with this thought here. The choir sang another song they sang this morning was, I Hear the Cry. And I challenged them with this thought. You know, we get so busy during Christmas. Places to go, people to see, things to do, things I got to get done, things I didn't get done last week that I got to get done this week. I didn't get done yesterday and I got to get them done today. Got to get it done, got to get it done, got to get it done. Go, 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 go. And my wife and I were leaving tomorrow morning to go spend a week with my son in North Carolina to do Christmas with the family. And this last week, it's just been go, 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 go. And it's the same for everybody. And that's how it is for me. And it's doesn't even matter if it's Christmas or not. It's just always go, go, go. I hear the cry. Back several weeks ago, a couple of months ago, I was in a restaurant. And the waitress, you walk in. She was the kind of waitress when you walk into the restaurant and you see her and you think, oh, I want her to be my waitress. Just smiling, bubbly. You know, she's not, what do you want? No, nothing like that, okay? And you're like, yes, I want that one. Yes, I got that one. And I sat down at the table in the group that was with me, and she took her order. And I said, now, when you bring the food back, or just before you bring the food back, we're going to pray for our food. Is there anything we could pray for you about? And she started crying. There are people behind the perky smile that are hurting. And sometimes, I'll confess, I am too busy to notice. I'm too busy to hear the cry of the world around us. My friend, if you've accepted this gift, God has us here still to be out there and hear the cry. Don't let Christmas be all about me, myself, and I. Let it be about those Christ came to die for. Be looking for them, listening for them. Be intentional about it this week. Here's the challenge I gave them. Look for someone to reach out to and connect with this week. No family, no friend, someone you don't know. Just reach out and connect with them. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, God, as we prepare to close this time together, Lord, I ask and pray, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, that this Christmas, this would be the year they accept you, that they accept that gift, realizing there's only one way to heaven, and that's through this gift. Father, for those of us who have accepted Christ, I ask you, God, to please challenge our hearts in the time that we have remaining this week before Christmas to just reach out and be there for someone and connect with them and watch you open the door for us to share the same gift that we've accepted. In Jesus' name, amen.